This is the Tech Talk for Accountants show with your host, Andrew Lassise, where every week we have a new guest to discuss the latest technology, apps, tips, and tricks to help you improve your accounting firm. This episode is brought to you by Tech for Accountants, an IT firm that specializes in cybersecurity for the small accounting firm. Many of our clients used to work at big firms that had all this crazy security and then went to work for themselves. And while they knew it was important to have great IT security, they just have too many other things to worry about and don't have enough time to actually learn this stuff. What we do is help bridge the gap so that even small accounting firms have great security at a fraction of the cost of doing it themselves, and it's all done for you. We offer listeners to the show a complimentary IT audit and consultation. Just go to tech4accountants.net/podcast. And you can book a free IT audit. Again, that's tech4accountants.net/podcast. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. I'm your host, Andrew Lassise, with Tech for Accountants, IT specializing in the accounting industry. And with us today, we have Eric Solbakken. He's an author, coach, and creator of the Accountant Success Formula, which is an executive-level program for CPAs looking to update their business model. And he's got, I've known Eric a couple months, and he's one of those people that's just electric. You talk to him for like 1 second. I'm so happy to have you on the show, Eric. Thank you. So I'm like at a loss for words of your awesomeness and how lucky we are to have you.
Well, hell, then we can just end the show here, man. You just gave me such a great endorsement. Okay, thanks, everybody. Good night. Bye. We're done.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Buy his stuff. He's great. No, that's me. We had a good chuckle in the background. We're priming up for this for the podcast here, Andrew, and we were talking about all sorts of problems and mindsets and the rest of that. And it's, well, life's too short. I have a phrase. It's that life's too short to work like an accountant. Like, really? Like, I've used that phrase with so many CPAs and they're like, oh, you're right. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, I mean, really, do you really enjoy working those hours every spring? You know, it's almost like the IRS and the CRA in Canada, like in North America, they pick. Like, they're doing it to punish us. They put tax season right when it's spring and things are starting to get fresh and your friends are going out and playing, you know, they're starting to join the slow pitch fastball team, like, or they're playing, drinking beer and playing slow pitch, or people are getting out and playing sports and it's spring and everybody's enjoying it. And the accountants are staying inside in the dark, right? Going, oh, well, I got another 15-hour day here to crank out the tax returns before my April deadline, right? Life's too short to work like an accountant. The same thing with life. Like it's just, let's just have some fun. We can be professional. And that's the thing is, like, I'm a professional CPA. Okay. I'm really proud of being a CPA, but what I'm not proud of is the way that the profession has brainwashed us into believing that following the traditional model is a key to success. So that's why I coined it the Accountant Success Formula, because it's actually, this is what I did in my practice that worked. And now I show accounting firms all over North America how to basically claim their freedom back.
So your background, you had started and built and scaled a firm. And if I recall, you had sold it and then went all in on teaching others how you had created that successful formula.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that, is a misnomer. You had said a word. There's a couple words that people use and I just kind of cringe when I hear them. One of them is value added. If I ever hear another person go, well, tell me about the value added services you have. Oh, great. So a value added services means, if you do the logic, that means what I was giving you before had no value, because now I'm going to add value to it because it didn't have value to before. You know what I mean? It's like, well, this is a sugar-free cola because it has no sugar. Like, I'm going to do value-added services because the stuff I was giving you before was complete shit. So now I'm going to actually add value, right? And so one of the words you said there is, like, I built and scaled an accounting practice. This word scaling and growing and, you know, massive growth, I think, is a major flaw, and it's a trap, okay? If you're thinking, I need to scale an accounting firm. So because accountants think, the person who does the most tax returns wins. So how do I scale? I got scale. You and I talked about this before, just in the warm-up. I said, you know, how are things going? You go, man, we're super busy. There's just, we're so busy, right? That's like accountants. When you get a bunch of accountants in the room, they go, well, how's it going? Oh, we're so busy. And the other accountant goes, oh yeah, we're so busy too. We're doing 12 hours. And the other accountant goes, oh, we're doing 18 hour days. And then the third accountant goes, yeah, we're doing 26 hour days. And I'm like, how do you do 26 hour day? Well, we're so good. We squeeze an extra 2 hours out of the day. Like it's, you know what I mean? And then my question to them is this, are you making money? Are you profitable? And then they stare at me like a deer in the headlights because they're like, well, but we're scaling. We're bigger. We're busier. And I'm like, yeah, but how much money are you making?
No, I love that you had said that. And just the grow and scale is just like the word that just sort of like comes out. But I mean, being on the sides of, I had started my company, me in my living room, nothing else, and then grew and scaled. So year one, I did $36,000, killing myself, 14 hour days, no social life, working weekends. It was like, I'm working twice as many hours and making a quarter of what I should be making. And then discovered, okay, I'm not going to just be doing this because this is terrible. Like, I enjoy what I do, but grew and scaled. So 36,000 year one, year two, 47x'd to 1.75 million and grew and scale, went from me in my living room to, I think at the time it was 4 offices, 30 employees. So I was falling into the, and we were doing well, like profitable, you know, checking majority of the boxes. Looking back on it now, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you were such an idiot in 2015. Like, the opportunities that were sitting in front of me that I didn't take, that I'm just like, oh my gosh, you could have retired in 2015 if you had capitalized on, coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? So grew that to, at our peak, was 4.3 million, 50 employees. And our profit margin was pretty good. I mean, industry standard in IT is 20%. We were, like 20-ish, 25-ish in that range. Like, we were doing great. And then, so grew it, scaled it, got a bunch of managers, bunch of people running it. It's growing on its own, doesn't need me. And I made the ultimate mistake of taking my eyes off of it. Went and traveled the world with my then girlfriend, now wife, and don't regret that, but came back 18 months later and realized I still grew it and scaled it, but we're only doing 2 million and we still have the growth of that $4 million company. Mm-hmm. And now I have to unscale and backtrack and do sweeping cuts. And so all of that was a terrible experience. And then, you know, down to 40, down to 30, down to 20, down to 10, and just feeling like a total failure. And now we are more profitable with 10 employees than we were with 50. And our gross isn't the same, but who cares?
How much are you making at the net? What's your net income? That's the only, like, really, that's what I care about. Like, we look at percentages and scale and all the rest of that. And by the way, and for any of our listeners out there on this podcast, we are going to come back to the original question that Andrew asked. It's just that when we go down a rabbit hole, it's so much fun. We just get fired up and go there. So just,
well, yeah, I mean, that's how the good episodes go. We never talk about what we're supposed to talk about.
I can reverse engineer to where we started to, but it's because it highlighted me something. I'm very curious to find out how many CPA firms out there, what their percentage flow through is, because it's always about, okay, what's the flow through to the owner? So you have $1 million company, you got $1 million accounting firm. Okay, what's your flow through? And so rule of thumb, most CPA firms are trying to target 50%. So half of that should go to the owner, right? And whenever you look at any of these accounting firms that are listed for sale, they always normalize it to try and get it to show that it's 50% flow through, which is complete garbage, right? But they're trying to make it look
through
like
my
that.
Head. I was like, there man, that's, no, I'm in the wrong industry.
No, okay. No, but here's this. So we got $1 million accounting firm. they're trying to hit 50%. Most CPA firms are trying to hit 50%, but they don't. Okay. When I had my accounting practice, I had 73% to my bottom line for me.
Wow.
Okay. So I had 73%. So if I had 73% on $1 million practice, I'm bringing home $730,000 a year. Then you have another accounting firm out there. And by the way, the bigger the accounting firms get, the lower the percentages go. So if you start looking at the multinationals, if you talk to them about like compensation for partners at 50%, they would laugh. They would go, yeah, that's right. That's funny. Like if they're at 15, 20%, they're happy. Okay. So now you go, let's go to a 4 million, let's go, you know, like go 4 million scale complexity, blah, blah, blah. And then you got 25 or 20% on 4 million. The same take home. But now you got more partners because you got 4 million. So you need more partners. You got to split it up between three or four partners. And all of a sudden you're not taking home 20%. You're taking home less, 20% of a million. So four partners at $4 million firm, and they're all taking 200 grand each a year. When I'm sitting there as a solo guy going, well, not a solo guy, I had a team, but it's the model that was the problem. I was taking home $700,000 a year with $1 million practice. And so how many CPAs out there would love to have a 73% flow through? So basically have $1 million practice and bring home $730,000 a year.
Well, as an aspiring CPA in this instant, because of this conversation, I'm raising my hand. And it's that easy, right?
It's simple, but it's not easy. Because what happens is that, so let's get to the gist of this. The gist of the issue is that CPAs have been brainwashed into believing that the traditional accounting firm model is the way to go. Okay. And I truly believe that. And in my book, The Accountant Success Formula, it says freeing today's accountant from an oppressive business model, because the business model is oppressive. So this is like a story. Think about it in terms of the hero is you, the CPA. You're the hero. Okay. The villain is the traditional accounting firm model, which is pushed onto you by the previous accountants and the profession. And think of me as Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm the guide. I'm here to lead, guide, and protect you so that the hero can finally bloom out and actually give the value and be the victor. Okay. But it's the accounting firm model that's the villain here, because it's conditioned accountants to believe three lies. Okay. So if you're a CPA in public practice, these are going to ring true. You're going to listen to them and you're going to go, you're either going to love me or hate me when you hear them. Okay. So, and that's why I say, Andrew, that love me or hate me, there's no money in the middle. Okay. So three lies. The first one is that your worth is equal to how many hours you work. Okay. That's what CPAs have been taught. The more hours you put in, the more worth you are, therefore you're more worthy of a person. So we get twisted into doing stupid hours and work. The more we work, like when you get the accountants in the room, this is the joke I talked about before. Everyone's having their, like, I call it a pissing match off the porch. They're seeing who can piss the farthest. Oh, I do 14. I do 18. I do 26. Like, it's crazy. But we've been brainwashed into thinking that the more you work is the more successful you are, because the billable hour model is how we get compensated. If you work for your client for 3 hours, you get to charge them for 3 hours. If you work for 10 hours, you get to charge them for 10 hours. Oh, then I'm worth more. So if I put 10 hours in, I can charge more money than if I put 3 hours in. So that's lie number one. Okay. Lie number two is that our clients are naturally price sensitive to our services. So basically, we've always been conditioned to just think clients are price sensitive to accounting fees and what we charge. And so we're always in a bit of a, oh, we got to save money. And how do we keep costs down? And there's a whole mindset around that. But basically, all accountants have been brainwashed. It's not true. Okay. But this is lie number two, is that clients are naturally price sensitive to our services. And number three, the third lie we've been conditioned to believe, is that tax time just has to suck. And it doesn't. But we think because we need to put in more hours, and therefore we need to put in more tax returns, and therefore tax season all happens in a short period of time, so we have to work crazy hours, then, which increases our net, our worth. But clients are price sensitive, so I have to do more of them. Like, did you see how this thing just snowballs? Right? The whole thing just snowballs out of control.
So it's basically work a whole lot, not make a lot of money, and kill yourself. It's that's basically what the model is. And yes. So you're here to say, that your worth doesn't have to equal the amount of hours that you put in. Clients are not price sensitive and tax time doesn't have to suck. I'm assuming is the counter to these three lies would be Eric's, here are the truths. And coming from the client side and my own accountant, he goes off of the, like, just the way that I look at what I pay him. It's way more than he's probably like my fifth or sixth accountant. I pay him way more than anybody else has ever been paid. And I don't have any objection with doing it because he brought to my attention, okay, PPP and EIDL, everybody knew about it. He didn't bring it to my attention. I'm like, oh, wow, the government's doing this. How did I not know? But ERC, I wasn't aware of. Boom, $150,000 that I was not aware that I was going to get a check. Now, granted, I'm still waiting 18 months later for third check, but we'll, you know, scratch that. But, you know, I can point to black and white $145,000. So if someone says to you, if you give me $30,000, I'll give you $145,000. I wouldn't sit there saying, that's $30,000. I'm looking at what do I get for that? We see that so often with our services as well. People will say, well, that's expensive. And, you know, it's, well, if I offered you a Ferrari for the same price, would that be expensive? Like, you're just saying a number. And usually when we see the kind of price sensitive, oh, that costs too much money.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually because we haven't conveyed the value that they get for that price. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to like tiptoe around that word, like value pricing. But, you know, when we price our services based on here's the entire package, so not the value add, but the entire value of everything that you get, which is disproportionate actually to the amount that we charge, we're charging a fraction of what it would actually cost you to do it yourself, excluding time and expertise. But, you know, get our pitch out of the way. So I agree with the every piece of it. I mean, tax time doesn't have to suck. I mean, it sucks for us in our bottom line because no one has any work to do.
Yeah, that's because all the accountants are so busy. They're all working like crazy because they're trying to crank out all these tax returns instead of, you know, going, hey, I need to talk to Andrew about fixing my tech stack and my cybersecurity and the rest of that.
Right.
Like just in that quick little chat there. And this is where, you know, we're going to do our best for the listener here to not go down too many rabbit holes. Cause literally we have like probably 10 podcasts in this one conversation. Cause you can unpack every one of these different problems and say, no, that's a lie, but we've been conditioned to it. And this is how you think. Like every business owner that you work with, for your CPA out there and you have a business owner, they're always doing an ROI, a return on investment calculation, right? So they want to go, what am I getting? What's the value and what's the price? And so, by the way, value pricing is not a swear word to me, Andrew. Like it's value added services. I can't stand it, right? Almost dropped an F-bomb there on a podcast. But anyways, I was like, I can't stand it because value added sounds like there was no value to begin with. So I'm adding value to something that has no value, right? But value pricing is I am a total proponent of that because value pricing gets you away from thinking that it's the amount of inputs into the price, it's the amount of value. So then you start looking at clients and talking to them, and all the accounting firms that I work with, they get it now and they start going, okay, how do I look at the value for the client? I need to have a conversation with them so that we can figure out what the value is and then set the price. It's like the TV show, The Price is Right. There's a, you know, get the price as high as to the value as possible without going over, because nobody will buy something for a price that's higher than the value. So if the client says, no, the price is too high, that's because the value isn't greater than the price. And if the value isn't greater than the price, it's a function of only a couple things. One is that you haven't properly had the conversation so they can see the value, right? So, and it's not so much you trying to convince them of the value. There's a way to have a conversation with them where they actually create the value by talking about what their life will look like once the solution has been provided. So there's a little ninja trick there. Don't try and sell anybody anything. That's a four-letter word to an accountant. Never sell, okay? Just have a client conversation. Have them talk about their future, the way it's going to look once they've achieved this transformation that they're going to get as a result of your services. Not, here's all the things I'm going to do. I'm going to file your 1140. I'm going to file this. I'm going to do double four and double five. And we're going to do a 1031 exchange and it's going to do all that stuff. No. What's your life going to look like at the end of it? What's the transformation? That's the value that they create through that conversation. Then you can set your price. And that's value pricing. That's all value pricing is. Value pricing is not that difficult. I had someone send me a message. I have a free online Accountant Success Formula Masterclass for any of the listeners here. And Andrew was going to put a link for you. It's a free masterclass. Yes, I'll take your email address. Yes, I will end up sending you emails, but it's just giving you weekly videos and updates. I don't hyper sell to accountants because again, we don't like to be sold to, but I've got a free masterclass. And in that masterclass, one of the things I unpack is the mystery of value pricing. There's no mystery to it. It's the price is right. It's simple. Get the price as high as possible without going over. That's it. Well,
that's such a cool...
It's the price
that's
is
the
right.
Coolest analogy. Like I'm like writing notes for what I'm going to be using with my sales team. And like one of those, like get everybody psyched up speeches, like this is going to translate. And I won't publish this until so it can look like it's an Andrew original. And they'll be like, you just got that from Eric. You just recorded it. Then you said his stuff and then you published it a couple weeks later.
Yeah,
you got me stoked.
You know what? Hey, dude, you can use it. No royalties required. Like, I mean, here's the thing. This really simple. It's simple. Like the problem, I have an overarching view of life. Okay. Life is complex. There is so much coming at us. And especially with like social media news and fake news and this news and people's opinions, which, you know, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. Like there's just, it's everywhere. Okay. There's so much coming at us. The more we can simplify our worlds, the easier it becomes to live. And so for me, it's a really simple thing. I looked at it and I went, okay, I had in a traditional accounting practice. I did it for 26 years. And again, I told you we'd get back to the original question, right? So we're finally coming back to the original question.
Back to his intro.
To the intro, yeah. I actually was in public practice for 18 years. I did 26 years in public practice, had my own accounting firm. So the first 18 years, I was traditional accounting firm, right? So I worked a billable hour. I cranked out as many tax returns as possible. I thought I was winning and then my partnership collapsed. And then I was like, oh my God, this is nuts. And I went, I started up a new accounting firm by myself with my wife and the two of us went and started a new accounting practice. And I said, that's it. We got to be smarter than this. I just worked ridiculous hours. I calculated how many hours I had worked over the last 18 years. And what I got as a result of it was a foot out the door. And I said, that's it. New accounting firm, zero overtime policy from the start. The first thing. And I said, now I've got limitations. Now I have to build, I have to get smarter. So it forced me to create more value in a smaller piece of parcel of time. And so for the next 8 years, no overtime. I made more money as a sole proprietor, as a single shingle guy with a team than I ever made in the multiple partnership that I had before. And I had all this freedom. And then I sold my practice at a crazy multiple on billings. Like it was off the charts at the time, right? And so it's simple. What I was doing before wasn't working. What I was doing after was working. Well, what was the culprit? The culprit was the traditional accounting firm model. It was billing by the hour and banging out as many tax returns as I possibly could. So the flip side of that is moving to a value-based subscription model, which is I'm capturing the value through a value pricing metric, right? Price is right. Get the price as high as possible without going over. And instead of just banging out the tax returns, I did something what I call the four planning pillars approach, which was looking at the client's entire life and saying, is the work that I'm doing as their accountant, is it fitting into that picture? And I've got, again, for all the listeners, I've got all this free. It's all on my website. It's all for free. It'll show you the four planning pillars in the masterclass and through a couple other PDFs. And it shows you that it's what you're trying to do is help the client build their life with through their business, wealth, retirement, and estate plan. And so that's the approach that I took. So I go, okay, well, that's simple. It wasn't working before. Now it's working after. What was the problem? The traditional model. So what do? We update the traditional model and we simplify our thinking. And we simplify our thinking with our clients. We don't inundate them with all the tax numbers. And if anybody listening can take one thing away, the next time you talk to a client, do not baffle them with your bullshit and tell them how many different forms and numbers and all the things you're going to file for them are. They're just, they're like, you know, the cartoon Peanuts. You know the Peanuts cartoon? You know that you know you can never hear what the parents are saying? It's like, yes, ma'am. Well, that's you. That's the accountant. When the accountant talks to the client, that's the client just hears this.
It's absolutely billable true.
Hour rate.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, how much it costs.
$450 an hour. Whoa,
yeah.
Did they say $450 an hour? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't hear that. They care about the transformation. So it's about, once you simplify your life, and that's what I take complex ideas, I simplify them down, and then I apply them. Then the question becomes is, does it work? And it totally works. Like again, in that second 8-year period, 73% flow through on about a $1 to $1.2 million accounting practice. Okay. I had a handful of staff. I had about 4 other staff members. That was me and my wife and 4 others. That was it. Bringing in $730,000 a year plus, right? And simplify. No one worked overtime. No one worked overtime. I had one staff member work overtime once, and I had a meeting with them, and I said, if they ever did it again, they'd be fired. Think about that. I had a meeting with them about about letting someone go because they worked overtime. Normally, accountants get pulled into the partner's office and saying, if you don't put them in more overtime, you're fired. Like,
right.
I went the opposite direction, right? So it's really about I believe accountants are overworked and undervalued. It's true. We work way too much. We've got way too much. CPAs went to school for so long to finally get their CPA designation, to stay up with the tax laws, to then fight with the institutes and the professional bodies to stay up with standards. And then you have to now do this and you have to do that. And we're working all the time. And then we go and work with our clients and we don't get compensated properly. I think that for me is what I'm out to change the profession, is change the way the accountants get compensated so they get paid for the value they deliver. But for that, we need to just shift the way we look at things and start looking at the world like the price is right.
And so do we apply this? Do we have our old clients on the old model or get them on board with the new model? Because I'm sure most people, it's not day one and moving forward, I'm just going to follow this model. You know, there's sort of the we've got roots in what they expect from our old clients. And I could go on for days about changing the model and how, like, mm-hmm. you know, people that just loved us and wouldn't leave. So it's just like, this is the new model. And they're like, okay. Like that was,
yeah.
Is it? And
yeah.
Ones that didn't fit the model that left, we were like, oh, thank God.
Well, yeah. Isn't that the way? I said, depending on how you want to look at me, I'm either Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? I'm here to lead, guide, and protect accountants. And so what I did is ultimately, well, after I sold my accounting practice, I had a bunch of CPAs asking me first of all, that we said, we heard you never worked overtime. And we heard you sold your practice at a multiple of billings that was through the roof and you're out. And how did you do that? So I started working with them and I started showing them. So what I did is I took all my experience. Then I started working with CPA firms and taking their experience of applying what I had applied, and I turned it into an executive level coaching program. And so I have all I lead, guide, and protect CPAs to change their business model. So I can say, don't go down this route. I did it. Doesn't work. Avoid this, avoid that, do this, don't do that. And part of that is, how do you transition your existing practice into the one that you want it to be? So you have existing clients and new clients that are coming come on the model. The first thing starts with what do you want the new firm to look like? So you got to have a vision for your future, a bigger, brighter future. And so we create that vision together, co-create. And that's why it's turned into an executive coaching model, because I end up working with the CPA firms to say, they go, oh, I think it could be this big. And I'm like, no, actually can be double that size. And they don't believe me at first until they start implementing. And then they go, holy crap, you're right, Eric. I think we can make this much bigger, but let's have a vision for the future. Then say, where am I at today? Okay. Simple. We got the future. And then we got the present. We go, how do I change my present firm from the way it is now to the future? Like, how do I change that? Here's the path. Here's the steps. And so part of that is a methodology on bringing your existing clients into the model. But as you've pointed out, Andrew, some of those clients are not ideal clients that you want in the model anyways. So when you're offering it the new model to the existing client and the existing client says no, inside you should be happy going, yeah, I didn't want you on it anyways. And by the way, if I don't want the client on the model, I just won't offer it to them. But that's hard for most accountants because they don't want to get rid of any clients because they think that if they're losing clients, they're shrinking, right? But actually,
I can share on this too,
dude. You take one bad apple spoils a bunch. You got to get rid of you got to clean your inventory. So there's an inventory cleansing. But here's the thing: I just want a release valve for those accountants that are scared. Going, I worked really hard to get all these clients, and I don't want to lose them. Okay, you never lose a client. You only offload them. You control the narrative. And this is an empowerment platform for me. It's giving accountants the power back. So that's like, no, you decide who stays and who goes. And the clients that you don't want to have on the model, or if they decide not to be on the model, you send them to another CPA who does the old model. And that other CPA will send you a referral fee for you not to do the work. So it's in my book. It's the story of me and my dad on a construction site. And he had this guy was being a total jerk on the site. Like he was a loudmouth. He was being nasty. And I looked at my dad and I go, he's a real jerk. And my dad goes, yeah, I'll go take care of it. So I see my dad walk across the construction site and I'm still there, you know, being the laborer and watch my dad. And my dad's talking to this guy and da, 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 da. They finish talking. The guy packs up his tools and he walks off the site. And then my dad comes back to me and I said, oh, and I said, Dad, you really gave it to him, right? You told him what a jerk he was and you sent him on his way. Good for you. My dad goes, no, I didn't, son. And I went, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, listen, there is always a way to tell someone to go to hell where they look forward to the trip. And I went, oh. He goes, he left and he was happy. So there's a way to offload existing clients in a way that you're telling them to go to hell metaphorically, right? Or you're telling them to go to hell. They leave and they're happy to leave because they understand that they're no longer a fit for your model and you care so much about them that you want them to go to an accountant that fits for them. But the best part is they go to hell looking forward to the trip and you get paid for it. So you get paid to not do the work you don't want to do with clients you don't want to do the work with, and the client's happy because they're going to an accountant who will let them do the crappy work that you know what I mean? Like everybody's.
Yeah, we started last year. And we were going to 80-20 and then like, I just started tensing up. So we 96 Ford and got rid of like the worst 4%. So of 1,000 clients, we dropped 40 of them. Yeah. One of them being our biggest client. Mm-hmm. And what happened in this, I'm sure this experience is not the norm, but this is what happened. So mm-hmm. we told them, hey, look, the model that you're used to is not the one that we do any longer. Like we had a contract and we, you know, stood behind it. So we are not going to be renewing this contract moving forward. This is our 30-day notice of termination, blah, 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 blah. You know, best wishes. We refer this person, like he does a really good job and he lives close to you. Like here's all the ways that this is going to be a better fit for you. And he was like, No, you are my person for life. What do I have to do to fit your model? And I was like, look, the reality of the situation is you all are as much work as a firm that is three times the size and a headache client of three times the size that you actually are. So you are like you're paying nine times less than you should be paying, basically, is where we land at. So
I'm sure there's a lot of CPAs out there that can completely empathize. They can like, oh yeah, I know I've got a client just like that.
Right. So it was like, look, for us to continue like this level of service and the model that you want, it's got to cost nine times what you paid last month. And they were like, oh, that's absurd. He used a line that I thought was great. He said, you know what the difference between you and Jesse James is? He says, Jesse James at least wears a mask when he robs people. And I was like, I'm telling you, we're not the right fit. And this is what it would cost to be the right fit. So anyway, after going back and forth, we're like, we will keep your price exactly the same. However, this is the reverse value add of we have to take away this in order for you to stay our client. And they agreed, and they were great. I couldn't believe, like, we agreed to give it a 1 month trial run, mm-hmm. because it was like, there's no way that you guys are going to fit this model. Like, it is impossible that you will just drastically change how you work with us to fit the model that we want. And they, to their credit, they did it. And then eventually they dropped us like 6 months after that. Or no, actually, no, it was almost, let's see, that was April. And this happened like last one. So 6-7 months after that, and it was perfectly fine. And we weren't even upset when they were like, we want to end it moving forward. But we stuffed them into the model, held all the cards. I'm sure, though, like, for everyone else that we dropped, though, it was sorry, we no longer offer this, but we'd recommend this. And they're just, meh, fine.
Yeah. But I wouldn't. Okay. By the way, for any listeners, CPAs listening to Andrew, please don't do what he just said. Please don't ever do that. Don't try and make the client fit the model. They either fit or they don't, right? They either fit or they don't. And you know, like, ultimately, this isn't... So I look at the lifetime value of the client. Like, I want a great lifetime value of the client. And most CPAs are the same. We don't like to sell. We don't like to hustle. We don't like to go grab new clients. Most CPAs don't, okay? But once you get a client, you'd like to have a client for life that loves the value, pays you on a regular basis. Imagine you get this client, and again, away from billing by the hour, up and down. Imagine if you had a client that's on board and they're paying you $1,000, $1,500 a month, and they're just a smooth roll. You're doing the year ends, you're doing the tax returns, you're doing advising, and everything's just a smooth cash flow every month. It comes in, and for the next 10 years, you have uplifts on the subscription model, cash flow, everything's great. You get special projects. That's what you're looking for. Right? You want to have that right client fit. But again, every client, I'm not telling all these CPAs to do the same work with the same client, right? And there's a lot of gurus out there that are saying, here's how you scale, and this is how you do it, and everybody should do it. You're like, no. I'm like, well, you got to figure out what you love to do, right? Really, this life's too short to work like an accountant, Andrew. It's too short. Let's find what you love to do with the type of person you love to do it with, and then let's use your skill set to deliver the value, maximum value, which, by the way, I can guarantee that almost every CPA out there is not capturing the full value because they're just not having the right client conversation. It's simply changing the conversation so the client sees the value, and then capturing that value with a value pricing model, the subscription value pricing model or change orders, so that they can get paid what they're worth, so they can stop being overworked and undervalued. And that, for me, I call the accountant success formula the path to freedom for the accountants, right? And so, like I said, there's a free masterclass on my website. It's ericsolbakkencpa.com, or you can go to the accountantsuccessformula.com. In there, I've got a free masterclass. I've got a free plus shipping offer on my book. I've actually got an audiobook, and Andrew, you and I talked about this before. Maybe you give a direct email and we'll figure this out, how to technically figure it all out. You're the tech guy. You know how to make this happen.
I'll have a database distribute keys based on like an opt-in.
So basically I've got a bunch of free versions of the audiobook that just came out, the Accountant Success Formula. It's an interview between me and my publisher about the book. So it's not just me reading the books, in audio version. And it's got a lot of extra value in there. So these are all free resources that I want to offer your podcast listeners. And like I said, let's come back. We got to do way more podcasts because literally we could have unpacked about 50 different angles. And, you know, let's see how many more rabbit holes we can go down and how much more value we can deliver here.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, have fun.
Yeah, like, the added value of having a hard stop so that we can't go down so many rabbit holes. So
accountants, and don't say added value. That means what we gave them didn't have value in the first place.
Well, life's too short to work like an accountant. Eric, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll have links on the show notes and on the post on LinkedIn throughout the week, and we'll probably end up doing like 30 more of these. It was great having you on the show, and we'll definitely keep in touch.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh yeah, we'll do more. This is gonna be fun. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. I hope you enjoyed today's guest. And remember, you can go to tech4accountants.net/podcast to book a complimentary IT audit conducted by a technician certified by the AICPA in cybersecurity. Again, that's tech4accountants.net/podcast.